Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning. This is Bruce Hall. Normally, you're listening to Roy introduce me, but I'm going to introduce Roy because Roy went up to Morgantown, West Virginia, and saw a record-breaking performance by Geno Smith and a bunch of intramural guys, evidently for Baylor, who gave up 8 touchdown passes in a very short period of time. But hey, Roy, how you doing up in Morgantown? And have you been asleep yet? This is very important for my listeners. Evidently, Roy,
I'm doing great up here, actually.
And have you been asleep yet?
I slept last night. I slept fine. It was the day before the game. It was Friday night that I didn't really sleep very well because I was getting ready for a tailgate that Saturday morning. So Friday was the rough day. Last night was fine.
Well, that's good. Listen, give us a couple of minutes about how the game went. You were at the ball game. You did a lot of stuff, obviously, before the game. You did a lot of stuff after the game. But talk to me about Geno Smith. I mean, his numbers were sick. They were what? 40?
Yeah.
What were they? 45 for 52 for like 684 yards or something crazy like that?
Yeah. Yeah, he had 6 incomplete passes, threw for a WVU single-game record, 8 touchdowns. Stedman Bailey, one of the wide receivers, he had a WVU single game record. He had 303 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. And Tavon Austin, another one of the wideouts, he had, I believe it was 2 touchdowns. So both of them broke the career touchdown receiving record for WVU in the same game. So that's pretty cool. And 70 points again. It seems to be WVU's number in the Orange Bowl. They did it the first game of the season. They put up 69 and yesterday they put up 70, so it was pretty exciting. It was pretty crazy, and it was definitely a welcome to the Big 12 performance for Geno Smith.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, the thing that I like the most about the Big 12 is they do score a lot of points. Most of the teams they have incredible offenses. They seem to recruit, except with the exception of maybe Oklahoma and a couple other teams, they seem to recruit mostly for the offensive side of the ball, and then everybody else gets to play defense. But having said that, there is a lot to be said for how exciting it is when you're putting a lot of points up. Now, I got to tell you, Roy, I'm a little disappointed with West Virginia Mountaineers because I'm just tired of I can't release them as a play anymore because it's been so long since they covered the point spread. They're making me look stupid. So, you know, until they find some defense, I really don't see how I can stay on them, but I can certainly watch them. You're going to be back today sometime in time to watch some NFL football, correct?
Yeah, I will be back in town. And by in town, I mean in the Baltimore, D.C. area, back home, around 4 o'clock. Like, I will be leaving here shortly after the show, so I'll be probably leaving Morgantown around 1, and it's about a 3-hour drive. So I'll catch the 4 o'clock games. The 1 o'clock games, I'll have to be catching some radio or checking my phone.
Now, the good news about you leaving a little later when the show's over is the fog will have lifted, correct? Because there's nothing worse, in my opinion, than the fog coming off that mountain from Morgantown. Tell people how blinding it can be trying to drive up there every once in a while. Because if you've never lived or had to travel on at 4,000 feet off, you know, above sea level, it could be a beautiful day in Morgantown. It could be 80, 85 degrees. And at 9 o'clock at night, you can't see anything. Correct.
Yeah, the fog is terrible, especially coming through Garrett County in Maryland. It's awful. The fog is terrible. You can see about 5 to 10 feet in front of you. We hit some really bad fog coming into Morgantown on Friday night because we came in late. And then again, once you cross over in the Maryland state line, it's basically all uphill until you get to the Cheat Lake Cooper's Rock area, which is pretty high up there. I mean, they call themselves the Mountaineers for a reason. They're in the mountains. And the fog there is absolutely terrible. But you're right. Coming home in the afternoon around 1 o'clock, if I were to come back this morning, you're definitely driving with your hazards on. It's pretty hard to get through that fog. You can't see much in front of you.
Yeah, the only time that I ever had to deal with it, I drove to Cincinnati to see a four-game or a three-game series with the Giants. Two or three. It was the year that the Giants went to the San Francisco Giants, went to the World Series and won it. And they were, like, kind of struggling and bumbling a little bit in August sometime. And I called Boach, told him I was going to drive to Cincinnati to make sure he had a ticket for me every game, and I was going to come there and straighten their butts out. And they lost the first game, and then they won two or three in a row. But I got to tell you, when I went through Morgantown, you know, my idea of driving, and for you kids and adults out there, maybe this isn't the way you do it, but if I have an 8 to 10 hour ride, I'm gonna leave after rush hour, you know, during the evening. I'm gonna drive 4 hours as long as I can until I start needing coffee. Then I'm gonna find a hotel. I'm gonna pull over. I'm gonna get a cheap rate. I'm gonna negotiate a great price, and I'm gonna sleep till the morning. And I'm gonna tell you, when I got to Morgantown, I didn't want to pull over yet. I almost had to pull over on the side of the road and find a dirt road and lay down in the back of my car because I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. But I gotta tell you, it was the last time I've driven in fog, and I don't look forward to doing it again. Now, listen, Roy, it's going to be a lot of fun today because you're going to be setting me up once we start talking NFL football. You've got the lines. You got the latest Vegas lines. You got the totals up there. You got the injury report. You got the weather. And we're going to start getting super serious because we're almost at the quarter mile pole here for NFL football. Yep. And there's some pretty wild stuff going on. Now, unlike a lot of other inferior sports radio shows, we're not going to talk for 2 hours about the lousy refs because that's done by people that can't chew gum and walk at the same time, and they don't want to talk about more than one or two things, and all they want to do is let people call in and talk themselves. We're going to go over every game. We're going to talk a little bit about it. I want, before we break, take our first break, I do want to turn everybody on to the Ryder Cup. Listen, I've been to three Ryder Cups. I've been to Oak Hill. I've been to Kiwa Island in 91, and I went to the incredible Ryder Cup where we came from way behind on Sunday in singles to win in Brookline, Mass at the country club up there. And I'm telling you right now, yesterday, the golf, even though we're ahead, it's not that close right now, but the United States is up 10-6. Even though the United States has a fairly comfortable lead and should be able to hold on to this through singles starting at noon today, it's been some of the most incredible golf I've ever seen on both sides. Now, the Europeans didn't have a whole lot of – they weren't exactly doing what we did. Keegan Bradley and Phil Mickelson, for those of you out there that are listening – everybody knows who Phil is, but a lot of people don't know Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley, I want to say, is 23 years old. He's 6'6". His grandmother's Pat Bradley, who's in the Hall of Fame in golf for women's golf on the LPGA, and she basically taught him how to play golf. This kid's unbelievable. They won yesterday in the morning session 7-6. That means they were up 7 with 6 to play, and we're playing so well that in the morning session, Tiger didn't play very well. As a matter of fact, he didn't get a point on Friday, not one point. He lost both matches that he played in four ball and foursomes. But and you play golf, Roy. You were on the golf team in high school,
yeah.
And I play a lot of golf.
Yep,
I'm gonna tell you, four ball's tough because you know the thing about it is in four ball, you play basically the ball that your partner leaves you. In other words, you'll tee off every other hole, and then you play through to the till somebody makes a putt or the putt's given to you, or you pick up because you've lost the hole. We did great at everything, you know. First day Friday, we start out 2-2, and then we go 3-1, we're up 5-3. Then yesterday, we win 3-1 in the morning, we're up 8-2. I'm sorry, we're up 8-4 going into yesterday afternoon. It looked like we might win three more yesterday afternoon. And then just an incredible Ian Poulter made, I want to say, five birdies in a row at the end of the round and beat us. Tiger was 5 under on his own ball in the back. Just, you know, from one hole to the next, some of the most incredible shots and putts. And excitement to go. But that starts today at noon at 4 o'clock. It starts today at noon on NBC. I almost said Channel right. 4. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall and Roy G on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
This is Bruce Hall. I'm back from the break, and I've got Roy G. in Morgantown, West Virginia. Hey, Roy.
How are you doing, Bruce?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'd be doing a lot better if I just gotta watch college football for a week or two. I just can't, for the life of me, figure out who's going to do what. I mean, Alabama doesn't even cover a teaser last night.
Well, nobody can really figure out college football right now. I mean, did you see the LSU Towson game yesterday?
Yeah, well,
or did
LSU,
you see the line or anything?
Towson was giving LSU fits. The only thing I can figure is somebody, some big alum somewhere shaving points. That's all I can figure. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, it would make sense though, wouldn't it?
Well, there, it's been a very unpredictable season.
Yeah, it has, and it just makes you wonder, you know, like I say, where the talent is. You know, Alabama, they were talking last night. In my opinion, Alabama has everything you want. Evidently, yeah. They don't have a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. The one thing that they're missing, University of Alabama, is a guy that can come off the corner and just light up a quarterback. But if you run the ball within 2 feet of any one of their defenders, he'll take your helmet off. So, you know, evidently that's their weakness. If you can throw the football a little bit, maybe you can move the ball. Let's talk real brief. We're gonna do in the segment at 11:30, starts at 11:30. We're gonna do baseball, and we're gonna talk about the MVP, the Cy Young Award. We're getting down to the last four games of the Major League Baseball season, which is coming up. And, you know, R.A. Dickey, I am doing everything. Everybody in New York, listen to me. If you want R.A. Dickey to win the Cy Young Award in the National League, start contacting every voter. And these are mostly sportscasters, you probably got a dozen of them in New York. You might have more than that. Just let them know that they need to vote for this guy. I mean, Gio Gonzalez, I love Gio, but Gio doesn't deserve a Cy Young Award, not this year. When you pitch for the New York Mets, who are at 500 or 10 games below 500, and you're 21-7, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, this guy is the real deal. Not only has he been through pure hell his whole life, wrote a book, shared it with everybody, he's a great teammate. They moved him up, Roy, I don't know if you know this or not, but they moved him up a game this week so he would pitch his last, so he would be able to pitch in front of the home crowd in New York. How cool
is that? Very cool.
And they didn't even fill the stadium up, but it was a day game, you know, so they weren't going to fill it up anyway. And it's the Mets, so they're not going to fill it up all the time anyway. But the thing of it is that this guy is a, you know, hopefully they'll hold on to him. And they're probably going to, you know, the guys, you know, R.A., I want to say he's 38 years old. And he wasn't a Met until 2 years ago.
And yeah, he was a journeyman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He started out because he didn't have an ulnar ligament. He didn't have an ulnar ligament. In other words, he can't have TJ surgery. But he did not have an ulnar ligament. It cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars in the draft, He ended up, you know, making it to the majors with the Texas Rangers very briefly. But he didn't do a very good job, and he sent him back to the minors. I want to say that he did some time in Japan, which seems like a lot of guys do. Some people like it. But the thing that is he comes back. The Mets pick him up. They pick his contract up 2 years ago. He has a decent year. And I remember when he first started pitching against the Nats. You remember? He beat the Nats 2 years ago. And this is a guy that throws a knuckleball 80 miles an hour. There are a lot of high school pitchers that would give their left arm if their right arm could throw the ball 80 with a fastball. It just doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? That's not a slow pitch. And when it's moving and it's not, you know, spinning, it's really hard to hit. And hats off to his catcher or catchers who take care of him up there with the Mets. Probably Josh Tolley. I love him. This guy's the real deal. But David Wright came through the other day, hit a three-run bomb, put him way ahead. Hopefully they'll hold on to David. I got a feeling that David Wright is probably headed elsewhere before too long. The only reason I say that is because the Mets really are a pretty long ways away from being able to tease first place.
Yeah.
And I like the Mets. It's hard not to like the Mets. It's pretty hard to like their organization because the guy was like best friends with the guy that cost everybody billions and billions of dollars. But, you know, they seem to have come back from that. They've shaved their payroll to a certain extent. They've got some good young players. Their organization's okay. Their minor league organization's okay.
And they were much better this year than a lot of people thought they were going to be. A lot of people had the Mets at the bottom of the NL East, just not really relevant at all. And now I know they're not in any type of playoff contention, but they still had an exciting season for the fans, especially the first half. And they were a much better baseball team than everyone gave them credit for at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and you know what? Being the nice thing about living in the D.C. area is I get to see a lot of American League ball in Baltimore, and I get to see a lot of National League ball in Washington. And the Mets, you know, have been, you know, they've been pretty competitive for a long time. The biggest problem the Mets have had over the years, in my opinion, has been Atlanta. Atlanta has just destroyed everybody in the East for years. I mean, they went to 14 straight playoffs till Bobby Cox, basically stepped down. Chipper Jones now is stepping down, and he's got to because he's taken too many gifts to give them all back, and he would never give them all back anyway. I wouldn't. But it looks like Atlanta obviously is going to make it to the postseason. They're going to be it looks like they're going to be the wild card. The Washington Nats won last night. And I want to say their magic number is one. And the Phillies come to town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I got 8 million people calling me just wanting to go celebrate, and which is fine with me because I got plenty of tickets to sell them, and I could sure use the cash because teams like West Virginia are destroying me. But baseball is getting ready to get into the nitty gritty. Now Roy, you know that me and Boat are buddies, and I've known him forever, and he's always good about coming on the show, and sharing a lot of stuff with us. He took a Giants team, the San Francisco Giants. Remember when the Los Angeles Dodgers made that huge trade, and they ended up bringing all of these guys in that were supposed to just win it for them in the West. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, they were two games out in front when they did that. And a week ago, they were 10 games behind the Giants. So it just goes to show you, bringing in all-stars doesn't mean a damn thing in baseball. No.
And at this point in time, they're currently two games out of the second wild card spot behind St. Louis. So they could see themselves outside the postseason, not only not winning the division, but not even in the postseason. So you're exactly right. That big trade seems to have not paid off, at least for this season.
I'm thinking, and I'm just thinking out loud, Donnie Mattingly was a great, and he's a New York guy. I mean, he's not from New York, but he played for the Yankees for years, and he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, if he's not in a Hall, he should be, but I'm pretty sure he will be. And Donnie Baseball, in my opinion, at least in L.A., isn't a good fit. Somehow that's not working. Do you know what I mean, Roy?
Yeah,
how do you – you do have to have the chemistry with a baseball team. I mean, even my summer teams, after 10 games, if I don't know, you know, how to use my entire roster on a given day, in a given game or two, I'm not doing my job. And the way it looks to me is that the Dodgers never figured out how to use that roster. I mean, Matt Kemp was on fire all year. You can't convince me that kid hasn't gotten help to get as big and strong as he is. Andre Ethier went away and just disappeared this year. They had several injuries in their lineup. You know, they lost Russell Martin, right, a couple years ago. He goes to New York. Well, you know, they didn't want Russell Martin. Well, you know what? I bet they wish they had Russell Martin now. Now they got, what, Rod Barajas or somebody? I mean, he's not Russell Martin. So, you know, I don't see them getting any better. But the Giants are going to be there. The Nationals are going to be there. And you know what? Those damn Braves somehow are going to be there. Don't you think?
Yeah, the Braves look good, and you know what they're playing? They have an emotional tie with the whole Chipper Jones going out thing, so they're going to be fired up and ready to play. And they're a very good baseball team. They're a very, very good baseball team. And you know, Chipper is ticked off. He's talked about it publicly multiple times about the new wild card system, about the second team. He hates it, and he doesn't hide it at all. You know, he makes no secret of hating this system. So he's going to be fired up going through the postseason. The Braves are going to be fired up because they want to, you know, they want to win it for Chipper. They want to send him out on his high horse. So the Braves are going to be a tough out.
You know, I can see it both ways. I can see only having one. But the only reason that Chipper's all upset is because he is the number one wild card team. Because
right,
if they
course.
Were the number two, he'd go, oh, this sounds like a great idea.
Exactly.
And don't get me wrong, Chipper might not say that. But knowing that they're, what, five games out in front of the next closest team wild card-wise? I mean, you know, in my opinion, the Atlanta Braves are a better team than either Detroit or the White Sox. Yet there's a chance they'll be out in one game. And it's the same with Detroit or the White Sox, but one of those teams will have a guaranteed best at 4 out of 7. So we'll see what happens. I'm just going to look up and down the games today, Roy. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be leading into me next segment with NFL,
yes, sir,
with NFL football. The Ravens, you know, played earlier. Oh, I hear music. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ravens played the Browns on Thursday night in a game that kind of showed how tired the Ravens were. And Ed Reed, another person who was very vocal about things he does and doesn't like Chipper Jones, he came out and said how much he doesn't like Thursday night football.
Four games in 18 days, right?
When
you think about it, that's incredible. You and I were talking about this earlier. How the heck does Ray Rice get up Monday morning already sore? They don't work out on Monday. I heard they took Monday and Tuesday off. They did mostly film and mental reps. Then Wednesday they had a walkthrough and they played on Thursday and they won, which is probably why they did not cover the point spread. How much did we miss that by, Roy? What was it? 1.5 points? Straight cash homie, buddy. Killed us.
Straight cash homie.
We're going to have straight cash homie for you here when we come back from the break. We're not going to talk baseball till 11:30, but we're gonna smoke through the NFL today, and I'm going to give you guys nothing but winners out there. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion with Roy G in Morgantown, West Virginia,
yes,
on AM 1230 WFAS.
How do cities understand?
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm on the phone with Roy, who's up in Morgantown.
Yep.
And the good news is, if you're streaming on my website, BruceHallSports.com, you're hearing the show right now. We have no idea if you're hearing the show up in New York right now, but we're going to keep going. Hey, Roy, let's knock the NFL out. Start with that first game, Atlanta, Carolina. Give me all the particulars. I don't need the weather, because if it's raining in that dome, they got a problem.
Yeah, it is Atlanta minus 7 over Carolina. The over-under in this game is 47.5. And like you said, the weather doesn't get through the Georgia Dome very very easily, so the weather's not a problem there.
You know, this game right here, two teams going in opposite directions. Carolina's struggling. I mean, you know, there was a lot of talk this week, and the pictures were taken of Cam looking like he was in deep, deep depression on the sidelines. Had his head covered with a towel. Steve Smith bitching him out on the sidelines, telling him to act his age. And Stevie Smith's basically his best friend on the team. It's not going to get any better, Cam, if you can't figure out how to be a leader. Just because you had a great season last year doesn't mean you're going to throw for 4,000 yards and rush for 700 or 800 again, because it's a different team year in, year out. Early on, I would have said this game would have easily gone over 47.5 points because Atlanta didn't have, in my opinion, what I considered a great defense. They had a good defense, but not a great one. And they had some injuries early on this season. Carolina, at least, you know, has always been able to play a little bit of defense. And you know, you always think of Steve Smith, Cam Newton, and those two running backs putting some points on the board. I don't see that. I like Atlanta today for five stars. They're coming off of a 27-3 win at our buddy North Turner's place in San Diego. And San Diego looked pathetic. And it wasn't just because San Diego isn't that good, which they're not. But it was because we did, you know, we found out one thing. If you follow me on Twitter at Bruce Hall Sports or follow Roy at Sports Man Cave, you'll know, because pretty much when we decide what we've seen on a Sunday, we let you know.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And you know, if you're a handicapper and you like and you're playing fantasy and you're doing this and you're doing that, you really need to follow both of us. But I'm telling you right now, we found out San Diego wasn't that good. But we also found out last week that Atlanta was pretty damn good. And we found out, we knew that the week before, and we found out that Carolina is not that good, and we're not even sure if Cam Newton's going to be that good. So you got to take Atlanta minus 7 here. If I handicap this game personally, it'd be 10.5. So I'm taking minus 7, and I'm happy with that. Anytime you get a 3 to 4 point swing on what I call, you know, that's the difference in what you're finding the point spread to be. Jump on it because I handicap every game every Sunday night for the next week. I've done it for years, and if I see somebody who has a variance of 3, 4, 5 points, that's who I like. And I like Atlanta today. I don't like the total because I don't trust it. That's just me. Roy, you like this game? Are we both on Atlanta today?
Yeah, we're both on Atlanta.
We were both on Baltimore last week too.
Yeah, so
you straight cash homied somebody else and lost.
I straight cash homied San Francisco who lost.
God, and, Randy, we're gonna get to you in a minute, Randy. Just chill out, man. You haven't seen Randy up in Morgantown, have you?
No, I haven't.
He spent a lot of time.
I think that the NFL knows what Randy Moss has done with marijuana.
Yeah, the NFL and everybody else in the world knows. And, we're going to take an NFL player to school day, and Randy Moss ain't the one you want to bring to school. But
I like this Atlanta team a lot. They remind me – the Atlanta team reminds me of the New York Giants team in a way. They have the offense is explosive. They spread them out and pass.
I can see that. Like the Giants almost mid to the end of last year.
Yeah, and what did the Giants do to Carolina this year? They blew them out. So I think you're going to see a similar game. I think Carolina will show up a little better than they did when they were, you know, smacked around by the Giants. But I think that you're going to see a similar type game where Atlanta completely controls this. And the way that Atlanta confused Peyton Manning in that game earlier this season, well, if they can confuse Peyton Manning, they're sure as hell going to confuse Cam.
Well, you know who their defensive coordinator is, because he used to be in Washington back in North Turner's days. Mike Nolan. Mike Nolan's been with 7 different NFL teams as a defensive coordinator. Doesn't mean he's bad. It means he's very, very, very experienced. And you know, any time that you can work, and don't get me wrong, if I'm a DC defensive coordinator, I'm loving being in Atlanta with Matty Ice and all those receivers and Turner and those guys, because all I got to do is get the heck off the field and let my offense go to work. And I think that's what we're going to see today. I really do see him having fun with Cam Newton. Now, the one thing he can't do is they can't rush the quarterback like a New York Giant team, but they're close. They got Abraham at one defensive end. He did just get a DUI. He was doing like 140 on the interstate in Atlanta after a game one night. But from what I understand, he's sobered up a little bit, and he's going to be playing today. Let's do the next game, Roy. Let's get rolling. But we like Atlanta for 5 stars today.
We both like Atlanta there. The next game on our list here is New England -4 at Buffalo. The over-under here is 50.
Well, you know, Tom, New England hasn't lost 3 games in a row since 2003. That's like almost 10 years. If you saw them the other night against the Ravens, they did all they could. They had the lead going in, and the kid made a field goal. And that was really Joe Flacco on offense just willing it to happen. It was also a kind of an iffy pass interference called by the quote-unquote replacement refs. But I got to tell you, a real ref would have made that call probably too. What do you think, Roy? I mean, didn't you think that was kind of a call that kid should have just kept his hands off of him?
Yeah, I mean, that game was going back and forth. Both coaches were up for review, possibility of fines. Harbaugh didn't end up getting one, and Belichick got hit with, what, a $50,000 fine from grabbing the referee.
It's
and you can't do that.
Good thing he's my age, or he'd have gotten to that ref a lot sooner and probably spun him around and put him on the ground. Nah, you know, Bill Belichick, you know what I think of him as a coach. I love him. But with all this stuff I've read and more I get to know about the NFL, you know, it makes you wonder how much of what he's done is because of Bill Belichick or because of his spy organization.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, who knows if they're still doing it? You know, Kraft got his hand slapped. Belichick got his hand slapped. But Buffalo, you know, Chan Gailey's not one of those guys. Chan Gailey is an offensive semi-guru. He's got Ryan Fitzpatrick running the show up there. He's got C.J. Spiller. I mean, these guys have got some weapons. But I don't know if they've got as many weapons as New England. And I think what's going to happen in this game, the total's 50. I'm leaving it alone. But if you like, if you're playing every game, if you're one of those guys that plays every single game, take the over in this game. Even though they're expecting rain up there, I see both teams scoring at least 21 to 30 points in this game. I also see Tom Brady getting well. I don't think Buffalo – a lot of people talked about how great their defense was this year. I haven't seen it yet, Roy, although the last couple of games they've looked much better. They're not that good. You're taking New England, right? Tell us why you like them.
I like New England here because of the Tom Brady effect. Tom Brady is 1-3. They're under 500 for the first time in seemingly forever. And I know that he has Hernandez out, but he still has Gronk. Wes Welker showed up last week as reintroducing himself really to this offense, whereas in the first 2 weeks he was pretty much non-existent. And everyone was questioning McDaniels, wondering why Wes Welker, one of the league's top receivers, wasn't being involved, and they pointed to Edelman. But we saw Wes Welker get more involved last week, and they played a very good Baltimore Ravens team, and they played them tough. So this Buffalo team is not the Baltimore Ravens, and I look for Tom Brady to bounce back here and get a win.
I you know what? If I had to go one direction, that would have been it. And I had to really talk myself. I mean, that's how much I'm worried about New England. Do you know it's been 145 games since the Pats were below 500 at any time during a season? 145 games. Next game looks like Minnesota-Detroit. Minnesota's getting what, Roy? 4 points right now?
Yeah, it's Minnesota +4 at Detroit. The over-under here is 48.5.
Two teams going in different directions, for sure. Roy, we'll be right back to that, but for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy G. in Morgantown, and you're listening to AM 1230 WFAS.
You turned your back on all the promise. this love in the old soft heart.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back. We're back. Matt's back. Hassel back. Chicken back. Fat back. Anyway, hey, Minnesota-Detroit, Roy, what numbers you looking at? I got Minnesota plus +4. We talked about that briefly, right? Well, we didn't get a chance to. That's right.
No, we haven't. It was the break.
Let me just give you this right now. Christian Ponder on fire. On fire. Now we know why Minnesota actually did something right. They drafted a really good quarterback that a lot of people were on, but like the Redskins even like Ponder. I'd take Ponder. You know who he's a lot like? RG3. He can run. He runs a 4.6, 40. He's got a good arm. He's a good-sized kid. He's got a 104-point quarterback rating right now. I mean, you know, Minnesota is turning it around. We talked about them earlier in the year. We were both on Detroit early. Last week, they looked dysfunctional. Their special teams went to hell in a handbasket. They did score 14 points with their backup quarterback in 18 seconds to go into overtime, but then they lose in overtime. So, you know, honestly, I'm taking the over because I'd love to take Minnesota here. Detroit, if they were any good at all right now, if they had something going on with their offense and defense and special teams, I'd be all over the Lions right here, especially minus -4. When's the last time, Roy, you got Detroit minus -4 at home?
Yeah.
Against Minnesota, for that matter.
Yeah, and I think that this line is all about the unknown in the Vikings offense. Because if the Vikings were half decent, they would be the favorite here because you're exactly right. This Lions team looks lost to the first, but they have the big weapons. They still have Megatron. Mekhi Ashore seemingly came out of nowhere last week. And
they got a good tight end, too. I mean, these guys have got players that can play. There's no question. Yeah. But Matt Stafford's maybe – he may not play. Sean Hill may start. Matthew Stafford's a game time is what I'm hearing. And if Matthew Stafford's a game time, Sean Hill, in my opinion, isn't good enough to take a chance on. Not here. Not with Minnesota on fire. Not with Adrian Peterson. He's going to get 15 to 20 touches. The only thing I worry about with AP, Roy, is sooner or later, I mean, he's going to bang that knee. Somewhere, somehow.
That's what you think.
Detroit, that's the worst team to play against for cheap shots, wouldn't you say?
they do get a rap for being a dirty team.
Dominican Sue, man. I mean, I can just see him twisting that ankle in the bottom of a pile. I'm taking the over for 4 stars here. I think the winner of this game does score 31 to 35 points. And if that's the case and it's a close game, it's going to go over. So you got a little play there with your teasers. And it's indoors, so you don't have to worry about weather. What's the next game, Roy boy?
All right, the next game we got going on here would be Houston Texans minus a big 12 over the Tennessee Titans. 46 is the over-under.
All right, they're 3-0 for the first time in Houston Texans history. But you know what? It's not a great 3-0 because the teams they've beaten are 3-6 combined. And I'm going to tell you, Tennessee, they're coming off that big win last week in Detroit in overtime, 44-41 win. But they got 21 of those points on freak plays. They stole a ball from a guy. I mean, they turned around at least 28 points in that game. I don't think Tennessee's that good, and I know you don't like him, and I know you don't like him for a couple of reasons. You hate Chris Johnson right now, don't you, Roy?
Yeah,
tell everybody why you hate him.
He's my fantasy running back in the league that we're all in, and he is averaging something terrible. It's like 1.1 yards a carry.
It's 1.6 this week.
It's disgusting.
He's terrible.
And he's completely destroyed my fantasy team.
Hey, but he could start his own single-handedly. He could start his own finance company, though. I could tell you. Matt's dying to say something.
I'm a big fan of him, though, Roy.
Yeah, I know, Matt. Matt, I was embarrassed last week by Matt.
Matt,
I lost
tell him what the score of your game with Roy was.
It was like 137-80, almost twice the amount of
Roy,
points. And I had a player that was out.
He's a soccer guy.
It was
Matt's a soccer guy, Roy.
It's definitely a low time in my life when I lose to Matt. That's probably the worst loss
I've
ever
taken.
That's
why he goes to Morgantown to see some offense, because he damn sure doesn't see it with the Tennessee Titans.
I had to come to Morgantown.
Starts.
I had to come to Morgantown this weekend because I couldn't face Matt this morning. That's exactly what it was. But what? I'm 3-0 in my other league. I am 2-1 in another league, and I'm 0-3 in the league that, of course, it gets broadcasted. So that's always fun.
Don't laugh. I'm in the National Handicappers Bowl. I compete in the National Handicappers Bowl every year. And Phil, this is your plug here. I'm in third place. I don't know how, but I am. Yeah. I'm in third place in totals. I'm in third place. If you go to NHBowl.com, you'll be able to hook up with some pretty good handicappers there. I'm one of them. You can reach me 24/7 on Sunday and Monday through Sunday on 1-800-WHO-IS-IT, H-O-O-I-S-I-T, 1-800-WHO-IS-IT. Call me. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'll sign you right up. I've been doing this my whole life. I love the handicap pro football, but I'm taking Houston today, and I'm going to tell you why. There's no way on God's green earth Tennessee is going to be able to stay with them down there. Houston hasn't really, like I said, played anybody, and if you're going to leave a game alone, this is the one. But I'm taking them for three to four stars here over Tennessee minus the 12. I just don't see Tennessee getting close here today. I just don't see it. Roy, who's next? Talk to me.
Next up, we have San Diego Chargers, the Superchargers. Hmm. They are minus 1.5 over the Kansas City Chiefs. This line has actually moved. It opened up at 3, and it's now down to 1.5.
Well, the Chiefs have a phenomenal running back. What's his name? Jamal Charles?
Yeah, Jamal Charles.
This cat's great. Peyton Hillis isn't going to play today. You've got the injury report right there in front of you. Hillis is probably the only big name I saw in there. But they've got so many weapons in Kansas City. And last week, finally, after some guy's rant, there's a sports show out there. I forget the guy's name, but it was all over YouTube. He did a rant and a half about how bad these guys sucked. And they came back last week, and they looked real good. They rushed for, what, 276 yards or something?
Yeah, they finally became that rushing the football team that everyone thought they were going to become at the beginning of the season.
Well, you know what? If Matt Castle's your quarterback, you better be a rushing football team, because the guy is okay, but he ain't great. The only reason he was good in New England is because they cheated there. And I'm not kidding. You know, that's documented. You know, don't mess with me. North Turner's Chargers wet the bed last weekend at home when the Atlanta Falcons came to town. That's something Norv's gotten used to over the years. But he and Romeo Crennel are two very similar guys. Both of them are really coordinators. You know, Norv's a great offensive coordinator. Romeo's a great defensive coordinator. Although, you know, some of his he's working for Scott Paoli, a former New England guy. You know, speaking of conspiracy theories going on there, you know, they don't like to get new guys in because the new guys maybe won't want to do some of the things these guys do to win. But the Chargers have lost two straight games in Kansas City. Now, let me tell you, if you've never been to Kansas City for a football game, you got to go at least once if you're a football fan, because those people are crazy. They're out of their minds.
It's a great environment there.
And there's great barbecue, man. I'm telling you, they got the best barbecue in the world there. It's mostly beef barbecue, great ribs, great short ribs, great everything. Some of the hottest sauce you'll ever eat. But the Chiefs face their fourth good to great quarterback in 4 weeks this weekend. Personally, I think the game's a toss-up, and the line shows that. San Diego is minus 1.5 at Kansas City. The total's 44.5. The only thing I like here, even a little bit, is the over. It's too, you know, if you're going to flip a coin for your money, you shouldn't be flipping coins for your money. I'm just going to say that. What's the next game, Roy?
All right, next up we have the San Francisco 49ers minus 4 at the New York Jets, and our producer, Kyle, is actually at this game. So it actually opened up at 3, and now it's actually moved again to minus 4.5.
Well, if Kyle's at that game, my suggestion to Kyle is to stay at that game, because when he comes back to New York, his butt's mine. After starting the season with a 48-28 win over Buffalo, Sanchez is 31 for 72 for 444 yards, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. Not a great quarterback rating. Darrell Revis is out for the season. The 49ers got beat last week. They stayed in Youngstown, Ohio this week, Roy, and practiced in Youngstown all week to get used to the Eastern time slot. Frank Gore's averaging 5.9 yards a carry. The Jets are going to struggle to run the ball at all. They're not going to be able to run. Guess what they're going to have to do? Put the ball in Mark Sanchez's hands. We all know how good the secondary is for San Francisco. This is one of my big plays. It's not my straight cash homie play, but it's a big one. I got him for 5 stars, minus the 4 at New York. I love San Francisco here. Love them. How about you, Roy? Who do you like?
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you. San Francisco, they got upset last week. That's not going to happen again. They're going to come out flying. This New York Jets team, Sean Green's a little banged up. The offensive line hasn't been clicking. But, I mean, Sanchez he's played good this year. So I think it'll be a good game. But with Revis out, I think that really opens things up. I like San Francisco.
I hear you. I hear you. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back with more. San Francisco, minus 4. Roy loved that game, and so did I. No, actually, I liked that game. I took San Francisco minus the 4 at the Jets because they stayed in Youngstown, Ohio, where some former owners and general manager of the San Francisco 49ers lived and grew up, Eddie DeBartolo and Carmen Policy, two good Catholic boys. From Youngstown there, they're going to destroy the Jets today because the Jets will not be able to run the ball, and the San Francisco 49ers will be able to throw the ball because Revis Island is no longer an island. It's about 12 feet underwater. Roy, we're at Seattle at St. Louis. Do you have a line on that? Seattle is – oh, I've just understood Roy's not on the line. Seattle is a pick at St. Louis right now. Seattle will always be remembered for the catch in the replacement ref's final game. I mean, that'll go. That we'll be seeing highlights of that for 30 years, unfortunately. Kind of good. We talked early in the hour about how we were not going to talk about the problems that Goodell has had with replacement refs and all that, because it's not worth talking about, because the guy should resign. The owners should find something else to do and sell their teams to people that actually know what football is and know what sports is all about. But they're never going to do it because they got too much money and they're a bunch of jerks. I don't like Seattle in this game because they've got to come down a little bit. Plus, in a karma situation, and I do believe in karma, Seattle is due to get the axe, so to speak. St. Louis is getting better. They've got a good coach, but this game could go either way. I'm going to pass on the game completely. Although St. Louis, boy, they looked horrible last week in Chicago, losing 23-6. Arizona's minus 6 over the Miami Dolphins. Now, if you like the Dolphins at all, you're not going to like that Reggie Bush is probably not going to play. Now, he is questionable, which means that it's probably a 50% chance that he plays, but they'd be stupid to play him against an Arizona defense that's been just incredible after 3 games. The Cardinals are 3-0 for the first time since 1974. Now, to give you some kind of idea how long ago that was, I was a senior in college, and I'm 58 years old now. Jim Hart was the quarterback then. I like Jimmy Hart. He actually was a Redskin quarterback 1 year. He was a backup, and I actually met him. He's a great guy. Still alive, as far as I know. Getting that killer pension that the NFL doesn't get for their old guys. The passing offense for the Miami Dolphins is non-existent. They don't even have any guys receiving the ball, in my opinion, that want to catch the ball. The Cards defense with Patrick Peterson leading the way is the best in the league, in my opinion. Take the Cards minus the points for 5 stars to go 4-0 this week. And then we get to find out how long it's been since they've been 4-0 next week. Roy, you're back, right?
I am back, yes.
Thank God, Roy. I mean, I you know, it's really weird when you're on the air by yourself. Cincinnati is a pick. You know what, Roy? You tell me, what's the line as we speak in Vegas right now?
Yeah, the Cincinnati line right now is -1, so it's pretty much a pick. It's Cincinnati -1 over Jacksonville. The current over-under hasn't moved much. It's 44.5.
You know what? I love the over-under here, and I took it for 5 stars. And let me tell you why. Roy, you weren't at the game with the Redskins in Cincinnati, were you? I don't think you were.
No.
I think you had something else going on that day. You might have been in another football game, possibly waiting for the Baltimore game to start. But I was at that game. Cincinnati, in my opinion, their defense is horrific. They're not very good. They can't stop anybody. And what they really can't stop is the run. The Redskins average 6.4 yards a carry against them. And, you know, the Redskins will do whatever it takes to lose. They threw the ball too much and got Robert Griffin banged up a little bit. They lost a close game to Cincinnati. Cincinnati can't stop MJD. There's no way. Jacksonville is going to run him 20 to 25 times, and that'll open up their passing lanes, intermediate and deep, and will make it so a quarterback who's getting a little bit better, Blaine Gabbert, and you'll agree with me. You know, yeah. I want to say his QB rating's 85 to 90, something like that. He's going to have a good day because Cincinnati's defensive backs stink. Their yeah. best defensive back's been out all year. I'm taking the over 44.5 here for groceries this week. Okay? I'm taking them for groceries. 5 stars. Neither team looks that great, to be honest with you. Jacksonville is trying to go the right direction. Marvin Lewis is never going to go the right direction. He's been in Cincinnati forever. they keep him so they don't have to. I mean, this is a – I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. But Marvin Lewis, honestly – is not a good head coach. Never will be, but he is a great coordinator. You know, he's a lot like Romeo Crennel. He's a good defensive guy, not a good offensive guy. What's the next game, Roy Boy?
Well, actually, that is that Cincinnati sunny with 30% chance of showers. By the way, no real damage there. But that is, it's actually my straight cash
no
homie.
Way. You got to be kidding.
Yes.
Me. Where is he?
No, this is.
Oh, God, here he comes.
It's actually my straight cash homie play of the week. I love Andy Dalton in this game. I love A.J. Green.
Can, I,
the
have
rushing
some, can I have some of that? I want, cash, I, want, with, I want some of that.
Straight cash, homie.
With Ben Jarvis Green, Ellis, he's going to get going. You know, there's MJD with Jacksonville, who's the workhorse there. You know, I mean, he's the one holding
this team
together.
He's getting in shape, too, Roy. This is his third game.
Yeah. That's very true. But, I mean, Blaine Gabbert, he's doing better. But he's 40 of 79 on the season. They're
you
still,
like,
they
you
still
like have, Andy, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Blaine Gabbert.
I can tell you like redheads.
Well, Geno Smith, not to get in on the Geno Smith, but Geno Smith had more completions and yards yesterday than Blaine Gabbert has in the entire season. Yesterday, Geno Smith was, 45 of 51 for 600-some yards?
Yeah, but in defense of Blaine Gabbert, he's never lined up against a girls' softball team and played a football game Geno Smith did yesterday.
He has 468 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season. That's nothing.
Is that three games? That's 3 games, right?
That's 3 games.
Yeah, you know what, though? His first game, he got a win, and then they've lost 2 cents, right? Yes. Let me tell you, this is a big game for lower Georgia team Jacksonville. If they win this game, they're 2-2. And that's huge for Cincinnati because a lot of people, including yours truly and Roy, at the end of last season, we really thought Cincinnati would probably be a 10-win team possibly or 11, didn't we, Roy? And then all of a sudden, nothing changed, did it?
No, not at all.
They're still Cincinnati. They're still the family that does nothing to make the team better ever.
Yeah,
you know, they don't sell out that much either.
I think Cincinnati, though, is a highly underrated team this season. They were a playoff team last year. The Steelers are gone. I have Cincinnati going back to the playoffs this year. Are they one of those top-tier teams in the league? Absolutely not. But I think they're good enough. I think they are a playoff team, but I don't think they're up there with the Ravens, the Patriots, the top AFC teams. They're not there.
No, you're right.
They're a good team. They're a good team, and this Jacksonville team is a very bad team. They're a very, very bad team.
It's Mike Mularkey, though. I like Mike Mularkey. Hey, did you know that for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened, Roy? Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy's up in West By God, Virginia. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
On Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Roy's in Morgantown, West By God, West Virginia. Hey, Roy, you still asleep or are you awake?
I'm awake. I'm definitely awake.
Hey, and he's out of the fog. The fog is lifted, correct, Roy?
The fog has lifted. Yes, the fog is lifted.
Yeah, I guarantee you there ain't nobody moving there probably for another, what, hour and a half?
Yeah, well, you know.
that's a slight party town, Morgantown.
Everyone had to hide their couches, hide their chairs last night after WVU got their first Big 12 victory. They're now 1-0, undefeated all time.
Can I ask a question?
As a member of the Big 12.
What is it about furniture that makes you want to burn it when you win a football game?
Hide your chairs. They're burning everything out here.
Now, they do that in College Park, Maryland, for sure, because, they've had some situations where literally a couch that was burning in the front yard of somebody's yard caught the house on fire, and then the house next door caught on fire. I mean, that's like Mrs. O'Leary's cow or something. That's just crazy stuff. All right, let's pick up. Where were we? Let's pick up with let's pass.
We're at Denver here.
No. Oh, you're right. We are. Did we bypass? Yeah. No, we went with Arizona. Oh, you know what? I just didn't talk about it. Arizona, I'm taking them. That's my pick. -6 over Miami. What are you seeing them at? 5.5? Arizona, the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, it's 5.5. It opened up at 4.5, so the line is moving towards
Arizona. I still like them. Oh, we talked about that. They're 3-0 for the first time since 1974. Denver, Oakland. You know, Peyton Manning and a couple of older quarterbacks here. Two of the oldest quarterbacks in the league.
Carson Palmer and Peyton Manning. And then the line here has started to move towards Denver. It opened up at 5.5. It's now -7. The over-under has not moved at all. It's still 48.5.
You want to hear something really funny? It's not funny, but if you're on trends, this is one. Oakland's won 4 games in a row in Denver. And, you know, this Oakland team won its first game for the new head coach last week and did it with kicking my kicker. In fantasy league, Sebastian Janikowski, with a bad groin and all, drilled like a 51-yarder to win the game for him. You know, I like what I see in Oakland. I don't like what I see in Denver. I really don't. But Denver has to win this game. If they don't win this game, Roy, Peyton Manning and the experiment of John Elway's is 1-3. They really – I don't think they'll make the playoffs if they go 1-3. What do you think?
If you read – one of my blogs, the top 10, my 10
don't
bold
assume
predictions.
Everybody's done that, but you better tell them where to go to read your blog.
Yeah, if you go to sportsmancave.com, you can read this blog of my 10 bold predictions. And one of my 10 bold predictions were that both Mannings would miss the playoffs.
You're on drugs. So my Manning's going, buddy.
So I have Peyton out and I have Eli out. What you're talking about, Peyton Manning, I have Peyton Manning out of the playoffs. So
do you really? So you have them losing to Oakland today? Why aren't you taking the Raiders plus the 7 then? What's the line, by the way, that you're looking at? Because you're looking at the up-to-the-minute Vegas matchup line. What is it?
It's 7. It's 7.
What's the total? 48.5? 48.5?
Yeah. The reason why I'm not taking that is because because of Peyton Manning. I don't like to bet against Peyton Manning. I stay away from Peyton. But I don't think that he's going to the playoffs. I don't think that he's good enough to win that division.
You know what? If anything happens at all to their running back, the guy that basically pulled them through last year, come on, help me out. What's their running
back? Willis McGahee?
Yeah, I love that guy. This is a guy that had like 4 knee operations before he got out of college. Remember?
He's old.
Yeah, he's old, but he's solid. He's so good. He runs north and south. He's got good cuts. Yeah. He still probably runs a 4.6. He's good out of the backfield. But if anything happens to him, their season's over offensively because nobody will think they're going to run the football. Nobody thinks they're going to run the football anyway, and now nobody thinks Peyton's going to throw the ball 20 yards downfield. I'm passing on this game. I'm just like you, Roy. Next game, Roy boy.
The next game we have here is the Green Bay Packers. It is minus 7.5 over the New Orleans Saints, and this is a game that I would call it a must win for New Orleans, because if you start off 0-4. You're pretty much kissing that division goodbye.
Well, they're going to kiss the division goodbye because here's the situation. They go up against a Green Bay team that not only lost on national TV but were embarrassed by a bad call in the end zone. There's a big difference, you know, between being 1-2 and 2-1. And there's also a big difference between being the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Saints, in my opinion, are the worst team in the NFL.
Wow.
In the NFC, not the NFL, the NFC.
Because there's the Cleveland Browns.
Well, yeah, but you know what? After the outing the other night against the Ravens, the Browns have got hope at least. If New Orleans goes down to the tune of, say, 20 points here in Green Bay, let's say this is a 41-21 game, which, Roy, with all due respect to how much you think New Orleans might – I mean, I like New Orleans. I love Drew Brees. I love Sean Payton, but guess what? He ain't home. He ain't there. But what Roger Goodell and the other owners in this league did to the New Orleans Saints is like murder, or at least attempted murder. They tried to kill a franchise. Now, nobody likes Benson. I understand that. But Benson, in my opinion, isn't the guy that got the shaft here. The guy that got the shaft was Sean Payton. $7.5 million salary. Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Green Bay is going to – they're going to score, and they're going to score – heavily early in this game. I would say it could be 35-3 at halftime, but New Orleans will probably get a few points in the second half. This is going to probably go over 53, but I'm taking the Packers minus 7.5. Because, Roy, you tell me, you know me pretty good.
Yep.
How many stars you think I had on this one? Green Bay minus 7.5 against the worst team in the league at home?
Yeah. You probably have all 5. You're probably riding. You're probably betting your mortgage on this.
Plus, they are fired up for this game because they're so mad right now. Hey, how about their fans? You think they're going to be mad? You know damn well they're going to be mad. I'm taking Green Bay, and I'm taking them. And guess what? This is my straight cash homie play. Let me see. Randy, turn that on, Randy. I love getting Randy Moss here in the studio every Sunday. And it's only for like
straight
a couple
cash,
of times. I hear you, Randy.
Straight cash, homie.
Okay, I got it. I told him, Randy. All right. Straight cash,
straight
homie
cash,
play.
Homie.
Green Bay. Hey, Green Bay, take them. Take them hard. Take them repeatedly. I love it. Oh, by the way. Who would have ever thought after 3 games these two teams would be 1-5 after 3 games? I mean, when you think about it, it's just horrible.
Well, I had the Packers in the Super Bowl, and I have the Saints winning the NFC South. So,
well, you're gonna kill me here. You know what I have?
I'm pretty wrong.
You know what I have this rated on my blog? If you go to BruceHallSports.com, click on my NFL blog. Just click on, you'll see it right there. Green Bay minus 7.5 over New Orleans, total 53. NFL game of the year. I rated it as the NFL's game of the year. And we'll repeat that again before we get off the air in about a half an hour. This is my game of the year. Green Bay minus 7.5 over the New Orleans Aints, because they are the Aints anymore. What's the next game? Oh, God, look who it is.
Next up, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus -2 over the Washington Redskins. Threw an R in there for Matt. I know he's a Maryland boy.
Yeah, guess who's got? Guess who wants to say something?
Oh, I was just wondering if they're sending out the Z team for TV coverage on this game.
What does that mean? Oh yeah, well, no, Tampa Bay.
Well, actually,
you know what?
Actually,
I don't have it in front of me. I don't have it in front of me. Spiro
I would doubt
Dinas.
It because it's a 4:30 game. It's a 4:25.
No, it
game.
Wouldn't be. Not a doubleheader game. They'd never give one of those guys a doubleheader.
Yeah, yeah, this is a 4:25 game. So. No, I would. You know, there's only two 4:25 games. To one of them is your straight cash homie. Play.
I can tell you who Spiro. I can tell you who Spiro Dinas' game is. Spiro Dinas' game is probably Seattle and St. Louis. You know,
really?
It's a terrible game. It's not going to be a 4 o'clock game. But if it was, it'd be Tampa Bay and Washington. Hey, let me tell you something about this game. Is it just me? I'm starting to learn to hate this guy that coaches the Tampa Bay Bucks. The guy from Rutgers, Greg Schiano. Greg Schiano. Isn't he kind of a, you know, that bad word you'd say right now? It's four letters starting with D and N and K. He's kind of one of those. And plus, he's the guy that in what do they call that formation? Victory formation?
Yeah.
When you line up and just take a knee and just say the game is over. We don't want to run anymore against you guys and run up the score, and we don't want you guys to get anybody hurt. Yet he lines up 11 guys in goal line, and they all submarine and try to take the knees out of the guys in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what I would do if he did that to me? Especially if I was up by more than 7 points, I'd pitch it out to the fastest guy on the team and let him run in for a touchdown. That would stop that crap. You know it?
Yep.
Hey,
call
Greg,
call a timeout.
Hey, Greg Schiano, get a life, okay? The NFL doesn't need you. Tampa Bay doesn't need you. And I damn sure don't need you. And I'll tell you what, if I'm coaching that team, we're scoring again, baby. We're running a triple reverse. We're going to have he's going to have all those guys on their bellies, and we're going to be sprinting a 4-4 around left end for a touchdown. Okay, I'm done now.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that. I saw a lot of that guy. He coached at Rutgers, and obviously that was when the WVU was in the Big East. So I'm very familiar with this guy.
He
was a jerk all through
college.
He
was out of the NFL for 13 years. He was an assistant. He worked for Belichick. He worked with the Giants. You know, he's been around. He's not a young guy. He's probably mid to late 40s. But let me tell you what I got here. Nothing. I'm leaving this game alone because the more I wanted to take Tampa Bay, I did, Roy. I wanted to take them. I just couldn't do it. They're not. They're dysfunctional. I listened to the beat reporter for Tampa Bay in an interview for like 10 minutes on the radio yesterday. He talked me out of taking Tampa Bay, and he's their guy. So what does that tell you? I think RG3's got a shot today. If we outscore him, we win.
Yeah, and Josh Freeman's another one of those quarterbacks this year who has less completions and less yards and less touchdowns than Geno put up yesterday.
And he doesn't look like a rocket scientist to me when he's out there.
He's crap in the bed this year. And I'm with you. I cannot take the Bucks no matter how bad.
There's no way. The only way they won that first game this year was turnovers by remember when New York came back and beat them?
Yeah.
You know, the only reason New York was down 2 or 3 scores in that game was because they turned the ball over 3 times in the first half and they gave them a short field. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be back in a minute with more football and Tuck Ryder Cup.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome back. This is Bruce Hall. I'm here with Matt, my boy. Matt does a great job here in the studio. And every time he picks up his microphone, it's a special event. special moment here. And he usually wants to talk about soccer, but we're not going to talk about any soccer today. We're going to keep hammering these NFL lines down. Look, if you still have any units left after the first 3 weeks of this NFL season, you're pretty good. If you go to NHBowl.com, National Handicappers Bowl is what that stands for. You go to NHBowl.com, you'll see what place I'm in, how I'm doing. I'm barely even above 500, but I'm doing fine. I still have an opportunity. I would say the exotics are crushing most people right now. I would say, other than, you know, generally speaking, it's the NFL season that kills people. I think college ball is killing people right now. But let's continue where we were, Roy. What was the next game? We decided we're not doing Tampa-Washington. We're just going to watch RG3, pray he doesn't get killed by his offensive line. And, oh, by the way, Kyle Shanahan, who should just resign, period. Yeah. Except he's becoming fun to watch. Yeah, he had to give up $25,000 because he called a referee a P-U-S-S something. Yeah, he called a referee a name, and the referee was twice as big as him. And I just wish the ref had just cold-cocked him, to be honest with you. That would have worked for me. The old man probably paid for it because the old man's making, I don't know, $8 million a year? Something stupid like that.
You know the coach is bad when you're rooting for the referee, one of the replacement referees.
I want the replacement ref to just knock him out. Yeah, that's not good. All right, well, who's the next game? And this is a big game because this is big for our local people in New York.
Yeah, the next game is the Philadelphia Eagles. They are -2. The over-under here is 47.5 over the New York Giants. And it is in Philadelphia where the Eagles are 1-0 this year, having beaten the Baltimore Ravens.
You know, I'm looking at the same lines, which means that it's been pretty steady. I would imagine most money is probably the money line is higher percentage is probably on the Giants. I would say the other line's probably pretty even because if you're a Philly fan and you get -2, you're taking them. If you're a Giant fan on the road and you listen to me and you are smart, you're taking the Giants on the road because we always take the Giants on the road. I think you could take the Giants on the road since Coughlin got there. And you, with the spread, and you'd probably be living in a huge house by now.
Bruce, you said that you would guess that the money line is trending towards the Giants, and you would be you'd be correct there, in because the money line is 99% to the New York Giants here, a whopping 1% to the Eagles, and
that's
63.
That's probably not correct, then. That probably means that whoever is sending that out from that Vegas line has screwed it up because it's never that bad. I've seen it 90-10 before. I've seen it 93-7. I've never seen it 99-1.
This is 99-1.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of people out there that have dogs. And that's all I can say because they hate Mike Vick. And I got to tell you, I never thought I would. You know, I forget. You know, if you're a Christian, and I am a Christian, and if you forgive, which you're supposed to do, you forgive Mike Vick for everything he did. But I can't forgive a guy for doing what he did to animals. I'm sorry. Yes. And you know what? Neither can the 99% who are betting against him today. Now, here's the deal. I hope they're right because I'm taking the Giants, baby, plus the 2 because I just think they're going to win straight up. I really do. Philadelphia, they got a good running game. They're all right. They can throw the ball down the field a little bit. But when you're relying on DeSean Jackson for your success, good luck. He's 150 pounds of crybaby. I watched him last week. He bitched about every route he ran down the field against Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson was just laughing at him. He goes, you know, if I touch this guy, he falls down. He goes, the referee was laughing. I swear to God, he said that on TV. The referee was laughing at him. So, you know what? The Giants for a small play here, and this is going to be what, tonight? Yeah, it's a late game. And this is going to give everybody a great opportunity because Ryder Cup now starts at noon. It's the singles. Everybody needs to get out there and get behind this USA team, watch Ryder Cup, or tape the Ryder Cup. You know, if you got Verizon, you do it on whatever. You know, I forget what we call Verizon where we tape. Fios, that's it.
Yeah,
and,
Fios,
you know, if you got DirecTV, you know, you do whatever the heck you want anyway. But yeah. Tape everything today so you got it around tomorrow to watch, because you're not going to be able to watch everything today. You know, I do like the Giants. I do like what I see out of the Giants. And how much do they love this new kid, this running back?
I mean,
this kid is the real deal. Ahmad Bradshaw is probable to play today. And you know what's really funny about that? If this kid wasn't running for like 5.6 yards a carry, Ahmad Bradshaw would be out today. I think Ahmad Bradshaw wants to come back and make sure he's got a job. He is a Marshall guy. So, you know, you're a West Virginia guy, and he's a Marshall guy, and you know what they're like. Sometimes they care, and sometimes they don't.
Terrible, terrible people out there.
But I'm going to take my road Warriors here, cover the win, 4 stars, go G-men. That's me. Not taking the total, because I don't think that, you know, the Giants could get 6 to 10 sacks of Mike Vick today. And Mike Vick, is it me, Roy, or does he look like he's getting slowed down just a little bit?
Mike Vick will not make it through 16
games.
Well,
we had the over-under at 8.5 games, remember?
He's getting the crap kicked out of him.
Every week. And it's really sad to watch. To be honest with you.
And what team has the best front seven in football? To me, it's the New York Giants.
Yeah, it's got to be them. Yeah.
And that pass.
You know, the Redskins had a pretty good front seven until they lost 2/7 of it in one game.
I agree. The Giants have a great pass rush. They have one of the best front sevens in football. The only other pass rush that I like better than the New York Giants right now would be Seattle. I think they have the best speed rush in the game.
Right.
But the front seven of the New York Giants, they're going to have a field day lighting up Mike Vick today. And then, oh, yeah, their quarterback, he's pretty good too. Eli Manning has already thrown for over 1,000 yards and 5 scores. So I love the Giants today.
All right, here's what we're going to do now, Roy. For all those people that somehow missed the first half of our show, what we're going to do is we're going to go over everybody we're on today, because today was my day. And by the way, I have my NFL play of the year today, my straight-up play of the year. And here's who I like, okay? Are you ready, Roy?
Let's do it.
San Francisco -4 at the Jets. That's a 5-star for me. You and I both like Atlanta -7 over Carolina. I love that. I love that game. I took the Texans -12 because I think the Titans are just going to have a harder time running the ball, which means they're going to have to throw with Jake Locker. And I don't see them doing much to the Texans, not with a 12-point spread. I'm going to take the Texans for 3 to 4 stars. Arizona here, I love them at home. They're 3-0 for the first time since 1974. I see them going 4-0 against Miami. Reggie Bush may or may not play. I don't see Miami scoring a lot of points against the best defense in the NFL. And I really do think right now they have the best defense in the NFL.
It's arguable.
Yeah, the Lions-Vikings over. I love that because, you know, we've got the kid from Florida State for the Vikings that, you know, that all they did was beat the best team in the NFL, in my opinion, last week, or who I had rated as the best team in the NFL. And they're playing a dysfunctional Lions team, which is still going to have to score 30 points to be in the game. So I love the over here, and they're indoors, so there's no weather. You know, unless they open those doors up there in the Metrodome. It's not the Metrodome, though. It's Ford Field. You like the Bengals. I remember that. I love the Bengals. I love the over in this game. And you think I'm crazy, but I just think the Bengals defense is so bad that the Jags are going to have not only an opportunity to score some points today, they're going to have an opportunity to win, but I'm not taking them in the win. I'm taking over 43.5 points, Bengals, Jags. And tonight, people, I'm taking the Giants plus the 2 for 5 stars at Philly. Why? Roy, you know the answer to this.
Because of the Road Warriors.
Because they're Road Warriors, and they're on the road. Now, I'll take Philly in New York later in the season because they'll play better there. Philly chokes at home, and for some reason, the Giants don't play as well at home. I won't use the word choke, but it does come to mind sometimes. The Packers, my NFL play of the year, -7.5 over the New Orleans Saints. And trust me, they're Saints. How are they going to do this? You know, Darren Sproles is on my son's team. I don't have anybody else. Do you have Jimmy Graham?
No, I have
Matt,
Thomas.
Do you have Jimmy Graham on your fantasy team? Does anybody have a Saint on their fantasy team?
I have Marquise Colston in.
Is he hurt still? Is he hurt?
And in our league, I'm pretty sure I have him.
No, I think, Colston, no, he's playing today. He's playing today.
I have Drew Brees, and he's
Drew Brees. Well, now you got him in today, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God, why not? Because he's going up against my NFL player of the year?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Matt, we need to work out some sort of trade, Matt, to give me.
Well, you know, that's the fun part about fantasy is you can trade. I guess who I picked up? I picked up Danny Amendola last week.
Yeah.
He got me some points.
You almost did that, actually. So you got that because I was lax. I almost picked him up.
Why didn't you pick him up? Who are your receivers, Matt?
I don't remember. But
oh,
I do
God.
Remember.
This is not a very good fantasy segment we got going on here.
I almost picked him up after the Redskins game, and then I was like, no, that was against the Redskins.
Well, I was going to pick up Danny Amendola, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to pick him up. And then Bruce calls me. Bruce called me and said, hey, can you go into Yahoo and pick up Danny Amendola for me? And I'm like, you know, should I be a jerk?
Thank you very much for that.
And pick up Danny
Amendola. Were you really going to pick him up? Who are you?
I have him in.
Well, who are your receivers?
I have him in two of my three leagues.
You know what I really hate? I found out that in our league, you can't drop some guys.
Yeah.
Like, I have like three or four guys, and the computer won't let me drop them. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, hey. I was going to pick up Danny Amendola and drop my backup tight end. It's the guy from Denver.
Do you know what
I kept him around?
Do you know I feel a lot better? There's a guy named Sam Farmer who's with the Baltimore Sun Papers who picks against the spread all the games every week. Last week he was 5-11 for the season. He's 20-28, and you people in New York will be happy to know that Sam picked the Eagles to beat the Giants 28-24. God, I feel a lot better about my pick now. I really do.
That guy's having a rough year.
Yeah, he is. He's not the only one. There's one guy in New York, and when we come back from the break, I'll tell you who he is. I love this guy. He's the only guy with the news that not the Daily News, the Post, who has a winning record, and he does it every year. And we're going to become Twitter buddies. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Hey, Eddie, at Augie's, how's it going? Augie'sItalian.com. Give Eddie a call. Go down and pick up your great Italian food to watch all the ball games today. Today, I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy in Morgantown. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Roy, you eating anything yet? Are you having breakfast up there in Morgantown, or are all the diners still closed because everybody stayed up till 6 a.m. this morning?
No, the trucks haven't come through to kill all the possums for breakfast.
That's not how things go up here, Matthew.
I heard they don't roll that way up here.
No, we don't roll up here that
Squirrels?
Way. I mean, just because what was that documentary? It was the wonderful one, the Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia or whatever.
Oh, great!
It's not actually like that here. Okay.
I heard all the best pickup line in a bar up there to get a girl was "nice tooth."
Yeah,
is that true?
Can you say hi to Honey Boo Boo for me? Can you get her autograph for me?
I will say hi to Honey Boo Boo. But yeah, after when I'm going to have to eat, I'm going to go to Sandwich University. They're one of our sponsors, and they make some awesome sandwiches.
Now you're making me hungry. That's crazy.
You might have heard of them, Bruce. Have you ever heard of grease trucks?
No, huh?
In Rutgers?
No.
Oh, well, it's their satellite here. It's called
Sandwich. I'm a recluse, Roy. I just hang out with four television sets, three dogs, and my wonderful wife, Carol. Except during baseball season, then I'm everywhere but there. I'm out playing ball, coaching ball, watching ball. Hey, let's it's you know what time it is? What time
baseball
is it?
Time.
No,
is it baseball time?
No, well, you know what? It is baseball time, but we got to do our five picks. But we will let's do our five picks real quick, then we'll do the baseball games. Go. Okay.
All right. Well, our five picks, I have Cincinnati minus 2.5 over Jacksonville.
Right.
I have the Patriots minus 4 over the Bills.
Right.
I have that Seattle Seahawks St. Louis game.
Under. That took cojones.
I also have Seattle minus 2.5.
God, I can't believe you took that. Keep going. And we both got Atlanta.
And then I have the ATL minus 7 over
I don't Carolina. Blame you. Okay, I got the Packers. I got to take my NFL play of the year. I got the over in the Bengals game because you love the Bengals and I like the Jags here, and the total's only 43.5. I took Atlanta also. I took the over in the Lions-Minnesota game over 48.5 because, you know, there's just a lot of dysfunctional football being played up there, and two quarterbacks that can probably light it up a little bit, and two defenses that actually Minnesota's defense isn't bad. They just beat the San Francisco 49ers, but I still think, you know, that was maybe an illusion. And I have minus 4 San Francisco at the Jets.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jet fans. I just don't think they're going to be moving the football much with Mark Sanchez today against that San Francisco defense after they've spent the week in beautiful downtown Youngstown. All right, let's talk baseball here. First of all, you know, there are several teams that have already locked up in the National League. You got Cincinnati, you got San Francisco, and you're going to have the Nats, probably the Nationals in Washington, either today or tomorrow, that will lock up their playoff. Atlanta's already pretty much locked up one of the wild card spots, and it's between St. Louis, who's, I want to say they're two games up, on Milwaukee or somebody. Like, I care.
St. Louis is
we don't go out of Milwaukee anyway.
They're two games up on the Dodgers, and their magic number is 3. And the Washington Nationals, to clinch the division, their magic number is 1. They've already clinched a playoff berth. Atlanta, like you said, has already clinched a playoff berth. And it looks like Atlanta's going to stay the wild card because, like you said, the Nationals – could clinch either today or tomorrow with a victory.
You know,
Atlanta loss.
The Nationals did last night, very late, what they did all season long. You know, they're 13-7 in extra innings, and that's 20 games in extra innings out of a 162-game season. That means one out of every 8 games the Nats have played has gone into extra time. And, you know, they did what they always do. They just got up there, and next thing you know, they scored 2 runs, and bongo, they bring in another reliever who shuts down the team in the 10th inning, even though, you know, they're having a little bit of problem with Drew Storen, who probably will be their closer going into the playoffs. Tyler Clippard, bless his heart, is probably got a little bit of a tired arm, but now they'll probably get some time off. If they clinch today, they'll get 3 games off against Philly. They'll probably have them throw an inning, and then there'll be a 2-game wait. They'll play the wild card game. Actually, the wild card game is the next day, and then they start the playoffs 2 games later. And I do, by the way, have a National League Championship playoff tickets. You can call me at Bruce Hall Sports at 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. And I will, if the Yankees ever make it past the first round, which they should. If they end up playing the Nationals, I'm going to have a ton of seats for the World Series. So keep that number, 1-800, who is it? H-O-O-I-S-I-T. 1-800-466-4748. All right.
Speaking of the New York Yankees,
yes,
they are tied with the Baltimore Orioles for the crown in the AL East in a battle.
With 4 games left.
That a lot of people didn't see coming. A lot of people had the Orioles. I was one of the people who had the Orioles just being a completely terrible team. As the Yankees lost the Blue Jays last night 3-2, those O's beat up on the Sox 4-3.
You know what's really incredible is look who comes to the Yankee Stadium on Monday, the Boston Red Sox. For 3 games. Now, the Orioles have played 6 games against Boston in the last week, it seems like. And I want to say they've gone 5-1 against them. The question will be, will those Red Sox have the same outlook against the New York Pinstripes as they did against the Orioles? You know, maybe they didn't try so hard to beat the Orioles, but maybe they'll try a hell of a lot harder in Yankee Stadium for 3 games starting Monday. Now they do play today. And let's go over these games real quickly. We got plenty of time. Let's just do the National League first. Cole Hamels, Philadelphia at Miami. I'm passing on the game. Although the Hamels will probably get a W because he's 16-6, and who knows, you know? But I'm
the
passing.
The Phillies will probably win this, but they're eliminated. So, but these are two teams that are eliminated going at it. Not a very good
team. Hey, where do you see the odds on this next game? The New York Mets are in Atlanta. Mejia, you know, who's not a very good pitcher to begin with. He's a rookie. Against Medlin, maybe the hottest pitcher in the National League. He's 9-1 mm-hmm. this year. He's 1-0 his last three starts. 1.64 ERA. The line is -300. That means you got to put up $300 to win 100. Hello, pass. But I'm gonna say Atlanta's gonna win this game. Probably. I'm gonna take them. I got to. Because there's no way Atlanta's going to lose on a Sunday with Chris Medlin on the mound. How about you, Roy? You there?
Yeah. I'm with it.
We don't have enough time. Okay. You just got to say yay or nay here. Johnny Cueto for Cincinnati, you know, a guy that is out to win his 20th game today against Wandy Rodriguez in Pittsburgh. Is Cueto going to get his 20th win, or is Wandy going to stop him?
20 wins.
You got Cincinnati. I pass. Lyles, it's Houston at Milwaukee. Fierce. Milwaukee still has a mathematical chance to get in. They have to win this game to even have a chance. I'll take Milwaukee today.
Yeah, Houston's terrible.
All right, now here's a tough one for you. They haven't clinched yet. The Nationals. Ross Detweiler is in St. Louis against a guy that started out, he made the All-Star team, Lance Lynn. He sucks. He's like got an ERA over the past, well, actually, it's not true. He's 3-0 his last three starts. But since the All-Star game before those three games, he was terrible. I'm going to pass on this game because I just think that I would rather see them clinch in front of me tomorrow. Yep.
Exactly. That's right. I'm going to the game on Monday. So
am I.
Go Cardinals, and then go Nationals on Monday so I can watch it and be a part of the champagne.
All right, here's a game nobody cares about. Timmy Lincecum, except Timmy Lincecum. If Timmy throws a shutout or gives up one earned run today, his ERA will be under 5 against Edison Volquez, San Diego. It's a pick'em game. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I don't like
nobody cares. Colorado is at the Los Angeles Dodgers. De La Rosa, who's horrible, against Beckett, who's making like $18 million this year and literally has an ERA since he got to L.A. of 3.16. I would say you got to go with Beckett here. I mean, why else would he go out there now? Now there's a big – Beckett was the guy that was drinking all the Budweiser, right?
I was just about to say,
lower? In Boston last year?
What is lower, De La Rosa's 9.45 ERA or the amount of beers that Beckett drinks before this game?
Well, you know what? He won't drink until he's in the locker room. I'm gonna take Beckett. You got Rusin from Chicago against Callmenter. I like Callmenter. He's always been a pretty good pitcher. He's -200 against the Cub. Who knows if the Cubs are even trying? I'll take Arizona there. How about you, big boy? All right, we're on the
nothing.
2 minute.
I don't want to touch that game.
We got the 2 minute warning here. Luke Hoshaver out of the University of Tennessee several years ago, first round draft choice. His ERA is 5.43 for the year against McAllister from Cleveland. I'm going to pass just because is there going to be anybody at that game on a Sunday when there's Ryder Cup? And there. I can't even take this. Who would go to this game? Who would go to this game? I want to know how many people are actually at this game. Pass. The Los Angeles Angels, Zach Greinke, are they still in it, the Angels? They're barely in it, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think
they're against Texas. I think they're done. Yu Darvish, Texas. You know what? They better start winning again, or they're going to be one and done. His record is 19-9. This is four. No, that's the team record. Darvish is 16-9. I'm not even going to take Texas here because I can't figure out what's going on with my boy Josh Hamilton.
He drinks too much Red Bull.
All right, New York Yankees. This is Hughes Alvarez. I'm taking the Yankees here. You got to.
Yeah, give me Hughes.
Yeah. Boston. Boston at Saunders from West Springfield High School in Northern Virginia. Saunders pitching for the Orioles, the lefty they picked up this year from the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm taking Saunders.
Yeah, give me the O's. Give me the O's.
Hey, the O's, hon. Oh, God. David Price making his one. He's making a push for American League Cy Young Award. This will be his 20th win. He's 19-5. I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Yeah, me too.
Detroit, I'm taking Sanchez against Minnesota.
Yep.
I'm taking Oakland Malone, who should be a Nat, against Seattle. And one more, Roy.
I agree.
Texas, I'm passing on that game against Santana.
The double
That's a doubleheader.
Yep.
Hey, this is Bruce Hall speaking for my boy Roy G up in Morgantown. We'll see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAN.